I think maybe some of you are wondering if I only show up when it's my turn to preach. I've been gone for the last few Sundays, but I've been busy doing things with family. We have Sherry's brother and his family is visiting on furlough, so from Thailand, so we haven't seen them for 2 years, so we've been trying to do as much with them as we can while we have this opportunity. I briefly just forgot here that I want to rearrange some of my slides. So why don't we go ahead and sing a song, and then I will go ahead and change that while we work on that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Thank you. I just will not pretend that I always have it all together. It just doesn't always happen that way. And I've been really wrestling with this text here as we have been looking at going into Hebrews. We covered chapter 1 and now going into chapter 2. And I'm really struggling with this tension of what can we learn practically from the scriptures, but also what can we just, I feel like we've lost some of our just awe of God's story, of who he is and how he invites us into that story. And so through this series that we're looking at going through the book of Hebrews, it's, yes, we're going to pull out practical things for our lives, but more than that, I just want us to be like, wow. We walk out of those doors and be like, wow, God, you have an amazing story. And then the next step beyond that is that, oh, wow, God, you have invited us to be part of that story. So we had the first message was pay attention. And we'll do a little bit of review on that because you guys know I love review, right? And then we're going to go on into message 2, which is today, we are his house. It's kind of be what I want us to take away from the message today. So we have, when we looked at chapter 1, we were looking at the Son, Jesus, being authority. And it was interesting, as I was looking at this time, that it doesn't really mention Jesus by name in the first chapter. It's just talking to him, you know, the Son has authority. Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature. Jesus made purifications for sins. Jesus is superior to any other message out there. So we kind of tackled this looking at, you know, we don't know the exact author of Hebrews, and we don't know the exact audience of you know, other than it was probably to the Hebrews, and most people speculate that it was to the Hebrews in Jerusalem. But obviously, there's something here about this story, and I just want to call us back again, that this story is about God. Reading the Bible isn't always about what's in it for me, but reading the Bible is engaging in God's story. So why do we have the book of Hebrews? Why is it important that it's there? You know, we could just say, hey, we could do without it. It feels like the Gospels are very well said. You know, in other parts of Scripture. So why is it important that we have Hebrews? So we were asking this question, and I think the overall theme of Hebrews, why it's important that we look at the book of Hebrews, is because I see at the very core of it, it's just like, you got to realize that it is just foolishness to reject Jesus. It's just plain foolishness to reject him. And so we're going to keep coming back to that, keep coming back to that. And so kind of what I have outlined for the lesson today is we are his house, and we're going to get into that. So we're going to read through this portion of Scripture, similar to like we did last time. But I kind of want you guys to just kind of fold your hands in front of you. Just everybody, come on, let's do it. Fold your hands in front of you. Just kind of picture yourself, you know, back in the Bible times, you know, just after Jesus' death and resurrection. And you're pretty, you know, staunch believer in, you know, Moses. You know, he was given the Ten Commandments. You're also a very diligent sacrifice. You do the lamb's sacrifice. You believe in that, you know, atonement. That's what you've been told through Scripture. That's what God commanded. And so, like, you have this author here, and he's going to be reading this. He's going to be telling you this. And you're going to be like, I'm not so like this. If I take what the author is saying in Hebrews, this is going to totally flip my world upside down. This is going to totally flip what I've been taught through the book of Moses, what I've been taught, what I thought what God was saying. It's going to be completely turned upside down. And so when we read this scripture together, I want you to think of it. What is this doing from the perspective of somebody that was a very religious but diligent, like wanting to honor God with his whole heart, mind, and strength, but Jesus just kind of upended all of this? So we're going to read from that perspective, that viewpoint. So what we're going to do here is have everybody stand up, and I will read what is in the regular writing, and then when it comes to the bold part, you guys will read that part of it. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. You made him for a little while lower than the angels. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, at present, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels. So that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, that is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am children of God's. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, that is the devil, for surely it is not angels that he helps, Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, for because he himself has suffered when tempted.
He is able to help those who are being tempted.
Going on into chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers,
you who share in heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession,
who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of the house has more honor than the house itself.
For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God.
Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. Indeed, we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. You may be seated. So it feels a little bit difficult, you know, as you read that. There's a lot going on there, and it's kind of difficult to digest. You know, what is all happening here? And I think this whole idea is, you know, we start in chapter 1, it's kind of like the author is kind of gently, you know, kind of bringing these people the message and saying, you know, like he's gently bringing them, you know, he's wondering, you know, he's asking these Hebrews, these people, you know, do you believe that the Son would have all authority? You believe the Messiah would have all authority? You know, there's different aspects of who he is, and so we're kind of building this foundation. So we're just going to kind of look at what chapter 2 kind of builds upon. So we're going to start here with the first block where it says, I don't know if you can read that from the back, but it says, lower than the angels. So part of what the author is trying to communicate is that the Messiah comes, he has come, but he made himself lower than the angels. He didn't come with trumpet sound saying, I'm here to take over the world and you know, give you guys a path forward and freedom from Rome. No, he came a little lower than the angels. Another building block that we see here is everything is in subjection to him. And we find that in verse 8 in chapter 2. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. You know, that's a lot of things to think about is how is Christ actually, like, how can nothing be outside of his control, and yet not everything is, we don't see it fully in subjection to him. There's still evil at work in the world today. So that's one block we're building here. The other block is crowned with glory and honor. So yes, you want to believe that your Messiah is crowned with glory and honor. You don't want to have a Messiah come that's not crowned with glory and honor. You also want to have, there's this whole idea where the Messiah was brought, he's going to be the lamb that was slain, and he had to taste death for everyone. This is a building block to eventually get where we're going. Another one that we find here in this passage is that this Messiah is here to destroy the power of death, to destroy the work of the devil. We find that in verse 14. And then the next one is he helps offspring of Abraham. And I think this is where he starts to up the ante a little bit, you know, with, okay, yeah, you can kind of understand some of the things that are going on. You know, yeah, of course you want your Messiah to be crowned with, you know, glory and honor. But he starts going in this idea that not only Messiah is going to be like the king, but he's here to be a servant. He's to help the offspring. And we continue to go on, and he's made like a brother. Like, he considers us a brother. I think they would have probably thought, man, that's hypocritical to say that the Messiah is going to come to us and consider a brother. Like, the author keeps building this foundation, and we keep going. He is the faithful high priest. That is mentioned in verse 17. And he has suffered when tempted. So in 18, for because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And I think sometimes it's easy for us to lose sight of that. And if anything, just a reminder that Jesus has faced all of the things that we've faced, whether it's sexual temptations, whether it's pride, whether it's the temptation to believe that prayer doesn't do any good, whether it's the temptation, like Jesus has been in the position where he has suffered when he was tempted, but he's shown us that there's a way to overcome that. This is not quite who the Hebrews were thinking that this Messiah was going to be, because this becomes more and more. And I love how this is kind of being built as this foundation. And then I love what they say when he starts in chapter 3. It says, therefore, holy brothers. He's kind of like, okay, I kind of give you this foundation. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling. And I think this is the next two words here are just so powerful. He says, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. If you want all of that in this foundation, you can't follow Moses anymore. You can't follow, you know, the leaders of the Sadducees or the Pharisees. Please consider Jesus. Because in their mind, they saw, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house, and that's exactly what the scripture says later on here. I'm just going to read this part again. Let's just start from the start of chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. You know, I kind of think, you know, recently, so I'm not like, I do a little bit of woodwork here and there. I am not a Brendan, or I'm not, you know, who are other, you know, big woodworkers. So I built this like massive toy box out of wood for my kids, and it like has a lower level so that Emmett can park his tractors, because you're a boy, you gotta be able to park your tractors. You don't want to just throw them in a tote. That would be so disrespectful. You gotta park those things, right? And then the top, you know, has a lid that opens up for the toys and everything. But you know, there's something in me that desires to kind of point that out and say, oh, you know what? You know, when guests come over, look at that toy box and say, hey, you know what? Like, that, we didn't buy that at a store. Like, I made that. You know, and you could say, dude, you're just so proud. You know, you're full, your head is full. But there is something to that, that it's not just that building that has the honor. It's like the person that built it is where the honor comes in. So I think I can at least identify with what is being said here, because God is the builder of all things. In verse 4, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. And so as we see, as we look at what he has built, we don't glory in that thing that he has built, but it points to him as the builder, because he receives more honor and glory in that. So now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant. Now, this is probably, again, where these listeners' ears are starting to tingle a little bit. So you're referring to Moses as a faithful servant. Yeah, that's cool. That's great. To testify to the things that were bespoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. So Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. I'm sure there were some ears tingling. Jesus, who is this Jesus of Nazareth? And you're going to say that he is more glory than Moses? Moses as a servant, but Jesus as a son? But this is kind of the last bombshell, so to speak, here. So I'm going to pick up in verse 5. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. We are his house. Wait. We've been spending our whole life going to the temple to worship, to pay the temple tax, to pick a lamb that doesn't have any blemish. Like, we've committed our whole life to this. And then you go and tell us that we are his house. If indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope. I think it's easy for us to not be very wowed by this, because we know Jesus. We know who he is. We've been taught his commandments over the last 2,000 years. But we have to realize that if you practiced animal sacrifice, you looked to a flawed priest, and you had to go to a temple to worship, all of a sudden saying, now Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, now you can look to Jesus as the perfect high priest. He doesn't have to designate a priest that's flawed. We now have a perfect high priest. And we are his house. This message is very simple. There's no profound new truths that I'm throwing out at you. I just want you to go away in awe, saying, wow, this is a story that God wrote from the very beginning of Genesis. He put this plan in. He sent the Ten Commandments through Moses. He had this kind of intermediate plan in the middle here to help atone for people's sin, to sacrifice, but it didn't end there. God's writing this narrative, and he's inviting you to be part of it, because he says, we are his house. It's not this building. And I think sometimes we can get caught up in that, where it's like, okay, yeah, we're going to go to church on Sunday, we're going to worship, we're going to listen to a message, we're going to pray, but do we spend more than 5 minutes a day seeking him during the week? We are his house. That veil was torn. Let us be just simply in awe of that. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. God, this is a simple word, a simple message, but so hard to fully comprehend, to fully have it come into the depth of who we are and how we operate. God, I just pray that we could walk out through these doors just with a renewed amazement at you, first taking us completely out of the picture, that our selfishness is gone, our attempts to protect ourselves are gone, our want, our need, but just fully looking at you as you unfold your plan for all humanity. And then just showing us how to appreciate the fact that more than what we deserve is just death, that you've invited us to be part of this narrative and this story. So we just take that with us throughout this week, and we just give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.